let the Lord have his way.
Amen. 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 Well, we've had a great time. Amen. We got here a little bit earlier than we did last week. And went to Auburn yesterday. Some of you might find that offensive. I don't know where y'all all fit in the scheme of things. But I was getting sucked in a little bit. Lemonade, Whataburger. I mean, all right there together. I was feeling God on the campus. I was a tiger in high school. You know, I was like, yes, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a tiger today. And then we get to the stadium, and I see a big sign on it that says 1993 National Champions. And I thought, I kind of remember being on the field in Miami at the Orange Bowl. Nebraska was there. Tom Osborne was there. Florida State was there. Bobby Bowden was there. But we had Terry up in the stands with his Auburn jacket on watching. I was closer to the field than him. I was like, you had me, Auburn, and then you lost me. Just that quick. But we had a great time. It is a beautiful campus. I love pregame football traditions in college. I've been a part of one for most of my life. Many of you know that. But I wanted to see that eagle fly. And I got the cheapest seats I could find. And we're up against the back of the wall. You know, I mean, it's right there. And all of a sudden they say, turn your attention to section 12. And I was in section 12. And we looked up, and there the eagle was. And they let that thing go right over almost the top of our head. So it was awesome. It was great to see. But we love this area. We love this church very much. Love all of you and Sister Knowles especially. Been a part of our life for many, many years. Before she was a Knowles, we knew her. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm going to read some scripture in just a minute. But I just want to talk to you for a moment before we get to that. Y'all can go ahead and throw it up on the screen. I want to talk to you about my most favorite thing in life. Is it up there? There it is. Delays. Now, y'all may not know what this means in Alabama, but in Florida, when I say fast pass, everybody knows what I'm talking about. If we're going to Disney or to Universal or any theme park and they offer an option not to wait in line, you can just take all my money because I'm taking that option. I'm not going to Disney World to stand in line. I'm going to ride some rides. Amen. I mean, y'all with me more already today than all last week. I'm shocked. And I'm not even an electrician. You'll get that one on the way home. But this generation that we live in does not know about delays. I was born, you know, the young people aren't in here to appreciate this, but I was alive when the first Star Wars came out. Darth Vader terrorized my life, my entire childhood for decades. And a few years ago when we were in Mississippi, the pastor's son came up to him and he was like, I mean, about the time I got scared of that guy, he was dead and gone. It was just all over. He watched all three movies in like an afternoon. And I had to wait 4 years in between each one to see what was going to happen next. He skipped my whole childhood. You could watch an entire TV show for 3 months, and right when it was going to tell you what happened, it would just pop up on the screen. You know, those favorite three words. To be continued. And you had to wait another 6 months to find out what happened. They'll get on an app now and they can watch a whole series in 2 or 3 hours. And we used to have to waste our lives away wondering who shot JR. I'm talking about delays. Amen. On average, people wait 20 minutes a day for a bus or train. You wait an average of 32 minutes every time you go to a doctor. 28 minutes in line at TSA waiting to go through security. Not this family. We pre-approved. They get out of the way for us. Y'all know what the greatest thing is? I make her do all the travel stuff because I don't want to mess it up. Because I know what will happen if I mess it up. I get in trouble. So I let her do it. So we're going somewhere, I don't know, to see one of our kids. And, oh, ma'am, you're not TSA approved for this flight. They kicked her out of the line. And I just started following because I'm with her. I can't, like, I don't, she's got the tickets, everything on the phone. Well, they checked mine. Oh, you are approved, sir. Somebody got a little offended at that because she's the one that did it all for the tickets. She put me through the line, and I had to go stand in line and wait with her because she had my ticket. But we wait and wait and wait. I hate to say this one, but y'all are in a good mood, so stick with me. 21 minutes. We all know they're talking about women, but it says significant other. You spend 21 minutes for a significant other to get ready to go out. I knew I was going to lose half the church for that one. In most cases, it's the woman, not the man. 13 hours annually waiting on hold for customer service. 38 hours a year at red lights waiting in traffic. This equals, across the planet, human beings wait and are delayed and on an annual basis of 37 billion hours of time waiting in a line somewhere. This will work out in your life that you will spend 6 months waiting in a line. That's 3 days a year. The average person spends about 43 days on their phone on hold in a lifetime. Jesus taught on the subject of delay. And there can either be great victory or defeat it brings us as individuals. If you have your Bibles, you can remain seated. I want you to look at Matthew 25 with me. We'll read a few verses of Scripture. And I'll put this in my notes in the English Standard Version because it fits my message a little bit better than the King James Version. So don't bail out on me. Stick with me here. It's going to be a little different if you're looking at that in your Bible or on your app today. The parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour." Amen. If it had not been for the delay of the bridegroom, it wouldn't really matter who had extra oil and who didn't. Amen. Everything would have been perfect. Everything would have been fine. But you've obviously never been to a wedding if you think it's going to start on time. I'm not making this up. I've sat and waited 3.5 hours waiting for them to say, "You can come on up to the platform now. The bride is ready." Oh, I was ready too. Amen. But this is the mentality that we approach life with. I've made the mistake. I have assumed wrongly that I knew exactly what God was about to do. I could see it. I didn't make any plans to need anything extra for any delays because I knew everything was fixing to go 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, and it would be done. And God went along with it. He did A, B, C, and then he got 1, 2, and then he went 2 1/3. Y'all ever counted on waiting on somebody? 2 1/4, 2 1/2, 2 5/8, 2 15/16, 2 15/16 1/2. And then about 3 years later, he'll go 3. And our little timetable and our preparation and our supplies that we have on hand have been gone. Because we were not ready for a delay. I'm going to tell you a funny story about your pastor, Will Knowles, that he probably never told you because he is the star of this story. I took that rascal to Mississippi with me. And I said, I'm going to take you. Y'all ever been to Laurel, Mississippi? You ever been to Charlie's Catfish? I lost you. Okay. Well, you're going to have to go after I tell you this story. I was being a good friend. I was watching out for my friend who had never been to Charlie's Catfish. And I said, they're going to get you because you don't just go to Charlie's and eat. You're going to wait. And you would wait days if you knew how good this catfish was. So y'all don't even, and Laurel, they'd be swinging from the chandeliers right now. So I warn him, they bring you coleslaw immediately. And then you're going to wait about an hour for your fish because that's just how busy they are. And I told him, don't fill up on the coleslaw. It will get you. Being a good friend, a godly friend, an honest friend, a concerned friend, a caring friend. And you know what I got? Oh, thanks, Brother Taylor. I'm going to stick to your advice. No, that ain't what I got. He bowed up. Look at me. Look at me. I ain't ever been full 2 times in my life. I could eat every bowl of coleslaw. I could eat every catfish. I could eat every fish fry in this restaurant and still be hungry. Okay. Let's go eat. So I watched him. And they bring little bowls and set them out in front of you. And he downed a whole bowl of that catfish. I mean, that coleslaw. I just stood there shaking my head. Because I ate a little bit and I was waiting because I knew what was coming. And he didn't. He thought the coleslaw was as good as it was going to be. And then I noticed as we were delayed for our fish, he kind of turned to the side and like stretched a leg out a little bit. He started leaning back against the wall and rubbing that belly. I looked over at him. I said, what's wrong? You know what he told me, Sister Jennifer? He said, I'm full. And about that time, here comes the catfish and the hush puppies and the French fries. And can I tell you today that his fish that night were delicious? Because I ate every one of them. He might have got 2 bites and 1 down. But the delays of life will tell you where you are in your walk with God. Delays are not random and meaningless. They are divinely appointed events. Y'all didn't hear me. Amen. Through delays, we are transformed. We are refined and we are prepared for the journey that is ahead of us. Can I tell you today that God's timetable is perfect? And guess what? It's full of delays. Delays do not develop character, faith, hope, love, or patience. They reveal them. Delays do not develop fear or anger or bitterness or strife or sin in your life. They reveal them. If we mishandle our delays, fear and doubt will creep in where faith used to live. Disillusionment will come in, and things that we were so sure about a few days ago, now we're questioning what we really had in mind. things that are delayed and appear righteous to us will either bear fruit and show that they're righteous, or they will dry up from the root and die because they were unrighteous. Now I got you. Esau could not wait a few hours for another meal because God had not sent a deer his way that day. That's what I like to think he was waiting on. If it was just a squirrel, he was really worse off in the head than I thought. But I'm starving to death and I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat right now. I got a bowl of beans. Smell pretty good, don't they, if you just sell me that birthright? Well, I'm going to die. What good is this birthright going to do me? And in just a few moments of delay, Esau would try to get that moment back in his life. And the Bible says he would search for it carefully with tears. And he would never find it again. Because he was delayed and he was upset that he didn't have an animal for somebody to cook for him that he had taken in the field. Deer hunters, don't get mad when you miss. All the women should have said amen. There's a McDonald's waiting on you. Israel had seen the hand of God move mightily. They had waited for over 300 years for him to deliver them from Egypt. He had taken them out with a mighty hand. He had destroyed the nation of Egypt. He had them at the Red Sea, and they paused, and then they watched him destroy the most powerful army on the planet at that time with a little bit of water. Moses says, "Y'all stay here and wait. I'm going up to the mountain to talk to God. I will be back." And in the delay of when he went up that mountain and before he came back down that mountain, something happened that should not have happened. They made idols and they began to worship them and they began to do all kind of ungodly things. And here's the thing that stings the most. If you ever research and study that out, most scholars believe they had made it to the 38th day when they decided to make a calf. If they could have waited 48 hours... 2 days' time, Moses would have come down and they could have worshiped God together. But in their delay, they became confused. And in their delay, they began to doubt the promises of God. And in their delay, they said, "Hey, we've got a better idea. Why don't we do this now?" Because Moses is obviously dead and he is not coming back down the mountain. 2 days' time cost them to wander in the desert for 40 years because they didn't want to wait for their delay. They wanted something to happen now. One of the saddest characters in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, in my opinion, is Saul. Man, he had everything. He had everything. But he had more fear for people than he did God. In 1 Samuel 13, him and Jonathan take 3,000 men and they defeat a garrison of the Philistines. And man, they are happy. It's like when Florida State beats a Division II school. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We have won a game. It's been 6 years since we won a game. They begin to blow trumpets. They were making some noise. They were stomping their feet. "Look at us." Well, guess who heard? The rest of the Philistines heard. They sent 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. Now, when I was growing up, it only took 4 horsemen to ruin your weekend. If one of them went, "Woo!" it was all over for your hero that day. He was going to die in a steel cage. I can't imagine what 6,000 horsemen would do. You all right, brother? I'm bringing back some memories. All right. We know we got one sinner here today. They had soldiers, the Bible describes, as numerable as the sand on the seashore to take care of 3,000 little Hebrews. And you know what all those 3,000 began to do? They went to find a place to hide. They went to go find their homes and dig a hole and get under it and hope that they didn't trace them back from the battlefield to their house. They ran. They began to panic. And the ones that stayed by Saul began to just do this with fear because they didn't know what was about to happen to them. And Samuel was supposed to be there on the seventh day at an appointed time, and he was delayed. And Saul says, "Bring me a sacrifice. Bring me a sacrifice. Bring me a sacrifice. We can't wait. I've got to do this right now or everybody's going to desert me and we're all going to die." So he went and he performed the office of the priesthood. And the Bible records as the time was ending that he performed the sacrifice, Samuel comes up. "What are you doing? What have you done?" If he could have just waited about an hour to 2 hours, Samuel would have been there. And Israel would have had a victory that day, but they lost their king. Because he said, "God's fixing to take this from you, and he's fixing to give it to somebody who's better than you. Because you can't handle a delay." I'm talking about being careful how you handle your delays. They're not from the pits of hell. They are from the throne room of God. You know what makes me mad? If I go out to start my car, I just drove it the day before, and you push the button now or turn the key. How can the battery be dead? It ran fine yesterday. So then I've got to go do this, and I've got to go do that, and I get a battery, and then we take off on our trip, and then all of a sudden you see a wreck that happened just about the time you should have been going through there. Now all of a sudden I feel the Holy Ghost in that. I was glad to change that battery. I should have changed it before, but God, yeah, we want to give him the credit then, but you better learn to trust his delays. Before you see the reason he has put them in your life, it could determine not only your life, but the lives of your children and grandchildren. Because if you don't read where Saul's line continued much past that, past a crippled man named Mephibosheth. Hello? You've got to handle your delays correctly. They are put in your life to show you there is faith in you that needs to be increased. There is a passion in you that God wants to develop for his kingdom. They're put in your life so that he can show you how much he loves you and cares for you. Amen. God delayed. Here, let me just back up just a second. Because let's talk about some good delays. Because Noah was given a commandment to build a boat. I can't imagine working on a boat 100+ years. Woo, that is a boat. That is a lot. And everybody come up, "What are you building this for?" "It's going to rain." "What's rain? We don't know what you're talking about. He's crazy. This guy, everybody, is insane. He's saying water is going to fall from the sky. You're crazy. Your kids are crazy. Your wife's crazy for staying with you, Noah." But then all of a sudden, the boat is finished. And genius over here built it in the middle of the desert. There's no water around. "What are you doing, Noah?" What God told me, he had to be the butt of every joke. He just kept pitching. Kept cutting, kept building. And then all of a sudden, birds begin to fly towards that boat. Animals that normally hunt and chase each other for prey line up and begin to, "You know what? That boat's looking pretty good right now. We feel something coming. We're going to get on it." And they begin to march and go right up that ramp and get on that boat. And I know every person that mocked Noah and every person that made jokes about him and every person that criticized his family and his wife for staying with him had to just stop and like watch the show go by. And here's how patient and loving God is. Every animal was on the ark. Noah and his family were on the boat. And the door stayed open for 7 more days. Waiting for somebody to get on that boat. And I'm sure they probably even walked up the ramp and just kind of like took a peek in, seeing what was going on, and then got away from it. And then all of a sudden, one day, something started hitting them in the top of the head. And then they ran to the boat, but God had lifted that ramp and shut it. And we all hear the stories about how the people begin to beat and begin to claw and begin to tear at that door to get it back down to get in. And I was preaching this message about Noah years ago at Soulsport, and God showed me something I had never saw before, because we always think about what's going on the outside of the boat. But as sure as I'm standing here today, he showed me Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth on the inside of that door. Brother Harper, they were taking every tool that they had and hitting that door with it. And that didn't work, and they began to beat, trying to push it down. But God had shut it. Don't you think when a preacher stands up before you trying to keep you in God's grace and get you to heaven that he's ever doing it to try to harm you? We are doing it because we love you and we want to spend eternity with you and your families. That is the whole reason we do what we do every day, is because we are in a delay right now. We're in the dispensation of grace. Judgment has not come to this earth, but Jesus said, when I come back, you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And when he closes the door of grace, I won't be able to get it open. No minister, no matter how bad you think you are, you'll get back in that dispensation. It will be done and over, and life as we know it will never exist this way again, because the delay between grace and his judgment will be over. Jacob worked. All right, man, here you go. 14 years for Rachel. And he loved her so much, the Bible says, it seemed but as a few days. I only waited 2 years to marry my wife. And my father-in-law, y'all, he loves me so much. I mean, he probably wishes I was his son. We have such a special relationship with each other. We're so close that when he walked Christy down the aisle at our wedding rehearsal and Bishop asked him with his head full of black hair, you'll get that on the way home, who gives this woman to be married to this man? He looked at me, y'all, with tears in his eyes. His voice was trembling. And he said, her mother does. And we have been so close ever since. Special walk, special relationship. Because I took his little farmer's daughter that he just knew was going to live with her and work the cows in the field till the day she died. Sorry, Dalton. But we do love each other. But I'm talking about when you love something, delays go by like the wind. When you are wanting something, it's not hard to work and save for it. Let me try to reach this generation. When you want something, it's not hard to go online and fill out that credit card application, because we want it now. But used to, they made us work and save. And I was the first person on Facebook that had a GoFundMe page. It was called A Lawnmower and a Weed Eater. And I funded myself through high school and college. It was awesome. You should have been there. But it seemed nothing, because it was giving me something that I wanted. And those long, hot days in the summer were nothing to me, because it gave me something I wanted. And when you want things in the kingdom of God and he gives you a delay, it seems like nothing to wait, because you're hungry for what he has for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. God gave Joseph a dream when he was a 17-year-old boy. Big dreams. We're talking about like sheaves and parents and brothers bowing, and just to make sure you got the vision, Joseph, we're going to have the sun and the moon and the stars bow to you, boy. You're going to be special. And his family, like my father-in-law, they were excited when Joseph told them the good news that he had gotten in the dream. And then they took him and threw him in a pit and said, "We'll see what becomes of that dream, big guy." And Joseph waited 17 years for his brothers to come up and go, "We're not dishonest men. We're just here to buy grain for our families in Canaan." And they went. And the Bible says, then he remembered the dream. He had been through so much, he forgot. Have you ever been through something and then God just has to remind you, "Hey, remember that promise I made you? It just came to pass." He remembered the dream. And he waited 17 years of a daily nightmare because there was a delay between the giving of the dream and it coming to pass. You can take this however you want, but I think Abraham and Isaac had it easy. Now I'm comparing to Jacob because they were given a promise. "I promise I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, Abraham. All the nations of the earth are going to rise and call you blessed. If anybody blesses you, I'm going to bless them. If anybody curses you, I'm going to curse them." He's looking around going, "We don't even have a kid." And then Isaac comes along and he gets the same promise to him. And he looks around and goes, "We don't have any kids." And then he has two children. And then it falls to Jacob, who becomes Israel, and his children become the 12 tribes. But Jacob had to take what was a promise in the spirit, and he had to bring it into the flesh that we walk and live in. He brought that promise to pass. Amen. There's a lot of delays. There's a lot of delays in that, but Jacob finished his course. Can you say amen? Thank the Lord. Amen. David was anointed by God and by Samuel at his father's house when he was just a boy. It's debatable, but me and Bishop have settled the argument. 13 years for the people to say, "I think we ought to anoint David to be king." David is the one that had to wait. David is the one that had to run for his life. David is the one that got to sleep in caves and act like an insane person in front of the Philistines so they wouldn't kill him. It might have seemed but a few days for the people of Israel to come to that revelation that David's going to be our king, but David waited at least 13 years for the people to take a horn of oil and say, "Lead us." It's hard to wait on the delays of God. But in my opinion, Joseph would not have been the man he was, nor would the earth have been saved from famine if he hadn't wanted to wait those 17 years and be faithful in a pit and be faithful as a slave in somebody's house and be faithful when that wasn't good enough. And we're just going to put you in prison now, Joseph. But the prison nor the mentality of the house, amen, where he was made a slave, nor the prison ever got in him. He was in them, but they never got in him. Because in his delay, it showed what a faithful man he was, what a holy man he was, what a God-fearing man he was. And when God used his gifts, he did not withhold them because God had withheld his promise. I love the story of Joseph, and we all need to have his attitude when God gives us a delay. Can you say amen? Amen. Back to Matthew 25. The wise and the foolish. This is a parable about the church. Amen. When this parable begins, there are no lost people. It says there were 10 virgins that came. They only realized that five of them were foolish when there was a delay. And five of them were wise when there was a delay. Can you say amen? It's hard for us as believers to stay alert when we don't realize why God has put us in a delay. We're doing everything that we can to serve Him and to please Him and to win people to His kingdom, and yet He's got me stuck in this delay. You have to learn to recognize where you are as an individual, where the church is as a body, and what God is trying to show you and get you to. Can you say amen? The destiny of our lives, you hear me, church? The destiny of our lives is determined in what we do with the delay. The delay shows, I'm smiling, your true colors. The delay is designed to draw you closer to God, not push you away. The delay is there to give you time to get things right before He judges you. We're in a delay. Can you say amen? Amen. If you notice in the scriptures, in verse 8, Matthew 25, it says, "The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." This scripture perplexed me. I'm just going to be honest, it's not hard for most scriptures to perplex me. So y'all know this about me. I graduated with a degree in theology from FSU, but what y'all don't know is where I got my master's degree. It's a little private school in Tallahassee on Mahan Drive called Sims School of Theology for the gifted. Very exclusive. But I finished magna cum laude. Amen. Bishop may not claim me, but I claim him. But I wondered why their oil ran out quicker than the other. Why the foolish were on empty and the other still had some in their lamp, and they just had to trim it and add a little to it. That didn't make sense to me. So I looked it up. Exodus 27 and 20, God is giving commandments to Moses and says this, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." And I thought, that's weird. Something's going on here. So I looked it up. There's two ways to harvest oil from an olive. The first is to take a stick and hit it, and you will break the olive. But it holds the skin and the pulp and the seed, and it just lets pure oil drip out. No impurities. And that pure oil will burn brighter. Oh, God, I could have just preached this today. And longer than the other way. Because the other way is to take it to a mill and to get it ground with a stone. And you just dump them in there, and it's a quick process. It's an easy process. And guess what? There are no delays. And you take a big stone and you crush it, but you've got seed, you've got skin, you've got pulp, and your oil will not burn as bright or as long as oil that's been pure beaten from an olive. You see what delays show us? They show us who's doing it God's way and who's just taking it and saying, "I ain't waiting, I'm doing it like this." You know, you can't tell what a wheat stalk and a tare stalk looks like when they're planted. It's not until the time of harvest, months later, that delay shows who's actually carrying something with the burden and who's just standing up in the field saying, "Look at how tall I am." My wife had to teach me that one day driving from her parents. I was like, "What's all those big ones out there? Man, that looks good." "Dummy, those are the tares. They're taking away from the stuff that's good. They're standing tall because they don't have a burden on them. They're not holding any fruit." Amen. Amen. The foolish were considered just as much a part of the wedding group as the wise until there was a delay. When God gives you a dream or a glimpse of your destiny, He is showing you something He wants to do for you, not what He wants you to do for Him. God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and you're going to have children like the sand on the sea and like the stars in the sky. Take your wife and leave your family in Ur. So Abraham obeys completely and takes his wife and Lot, because he's got this nephew that he's so close to, special relationship. I think Lot's going to be the one. It's not what God asked him to do. And it cost him and Lot a lot. No pun intended. Didn't even think that one through before I said it. Lot lost everything. And then there was Eliezer of Damascus, and surely Abraham thought, this is who's going to be my heir. Here he is, God. Go ahead. Bless it. The Lord's just waiting till Abram figures it out. Well, Ishmael, let Ishmael stand before me. Oh, he'll stand before me, and he's going to plague your family all the days of his life. And his children are going to be wild. And they ain't going to be able to be around anybody without putting their hands in a crescent wrench on them. Some of y'all wasn't here last week. You don't know what that means. Don't ask me in the parking lot. That's all I can tell you. But finally, he quits trying to do what God said he was going to do for him. And Sarah walks out and goes, I'm pregnant. God never asked Abraham to do anything but leave his family and follow him. And he was going to do this for him. But when God has given me promises, I take that as a direct word from the Holy Ghost. I got to get up and start helping God work this out. Until finally I can't take it anymore and I just quit. And then the most shocking thing imaginable happens. God does exactly what he told me he was going to do without any help whatsoever from me. Maybe y'all don't have that problem in Alabama, but in Florida it's rampant. We think we have got all the answers. Can you say amen? Let God do what he promised he would do for you. And let him do it. Enjoy the delay. Read the word during the delay. Find somewhere to pray during the delay. Teach a Bible study to somebody during the delay. Do something for his kingdom during the delay to draw closer to him. But he will bring his promises to pass. Can you say amen? We're living in a delay today. My dad told me in the 60s, he knew there was no way he would ever finish high school or graduate college or get married because there was so much happening with the Six-Day War that Jesus was about to come back and it was all going to be over. People in Mississippi were seeing crosses on the side of the road at night just lit up, running off the road, slamming on brakes. My dad saw one, locked up his car on the highway and almost had a bad wreck because he saw a cross standing on top of a church lit up at night. People were ready for him to return. No way this is going to be much longer. That's been almost 60 years ago. And he delays. In the 80s, when I was a kid and the fall of communism happened and things began to go crazy in schools and different things, I just knew we would never finish high school. I would never get married. I would never have kids because Jesus is going to come back soon. And then we made it to the year 2000, and we just knew Y2K and the events of 9/11. There's no way Jesus is going to wait to come and get us. Next year, that'll be 25 years ago. But in 2020, COVID hit, and an economic crisis hit, and we just knew this had to be what was going to wrap everything up. Going on 6 years. And he delays, and he waits, and he does this on our hearts every day. You're in a delay. You better get ready. You better take advantage of what's going on to get some resources in me. You better put everything you've got in me. You better put your hope in me, your faith in me, your trust in me. I'm here to help you while you're in this delay. But one day there's going to be a cry, and the bridegroom is going to come, and the door to the feast is going to be shut, and the delay will be over. And how we handle the delay from right now to his return will determine where we spend eternity. You know the two sections, smoking or non-smoking. I'll take non-smoking. Musicians, would you come? I'm coming to a close. I'll take him. I'll take his way. I'll take his delays. Even though I don't understand them, even though I don't fully grasp them, I know he's got my best interest at heart. I was sitting in a class in college. It was Holocaust theology. It's a very hard class to go through to see what happened in Europe with Hitler, and that was the main focus. We didn't really get into the Pacific side of the war too much, but the Jews that were there and what they went through, and the professor I had, he began to talk about how American soldiers, when the war was over, they began to go into the German people's homes and just take things and do things, and how they should have conducted themselves better. And I'm just sitting there thinking, my grandfather was just outside Berlin when this happened. Where's my bag with all that silver and all that money and all them paintings that they took? So I called him. And I asked him, did you do this? He said, I sure did. I had a bag that weighed more than me. And I'm seeing dollar signs and diamonds and emeralds. And I'm just not even going to have to finish school. I'm fixing to go home and just find all this money he's hidden the wall from us all these years. And he said, I had it all on my back. And I got to the boat that was leaving. And a man stopped me and said, we're just taking men today. You're welcome to get on the boat, but you got to leave that rifle that he swore he would never let leave his side again and that bag and throw them right there with the rest of it, because we're just getting as many men out of here as we can. You can keep all that. And in 2 weeks, this boat will be back, and you can bring everything you want to bring with you. And he told me that rifle that had saved his life so many times, he threw it. He took that bag of probably more wealth than he ever had in his life and threw it down, because he was coming home. We are so burdened today with things that are holding us back. Can I tell you something today, church? You better lay that mess down and get on the boat. We don't sing many songs about the old ship of Zion anymore. But there is a boat and a vessel that is coming to get us. And it's just coming back for people. Brother Harper, all my little pocket knives that I love so much, you know where they're going to be when he returns? Right here. I can't take my dad's knife. I can't take my dad's guns. I can't take anything with me, because he's just coming back for souls. Is there something today that you're holding on to, and you're looking at maybe the door of the boat, or you're looking at all these things that you have and you're wondering, should I just wait a couple more weeks to see what happens? You're in a delay. You better take the opportunity he's given you to take the things that are holding you back, or the things that are in your life that are making you think God's not for you and he's against you. And you better get them things off of you as quick as you can, because they will not only cause you heartache and trouble now, but they will separate you from him for eternity. Would you stand to your feet this morning? There is an opportunity today. We don't have to delay when we need something from God. And God has always had it set up that way in the tabernacle. There were places that only the priest could go. in the holy place. And there was only one place the high priest could go, in the most holy place. And the laver of water, only the priest could go there. And the altar of incense, only the priest could go there. And the table of showbread, all these things, the golden candlestick, they can only be touched by the priest. But there was an altar inside the east gate, that there was a priest on duty non-stop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you got ready to get sin right in your life, there was a priest ready to meet you there. I feel the Holy Ghost in here this morning. There is a priest here today, and he has set up his kingdom to where you don't have to wait, you don't have to delay. You can come right now and lay things down on this altar, and you will never have to pick them up again. There is a time he set aside this day. This is the Sabbath day, where we delay the ending of 1 week from the beginning of another week so that we can get our lives lined up back to his word. He gives mankind a day out of every week to stop and think about where we're going to spend eternity. Would you lift your hands towards heaven right now? Would you ask God to empty anything out of you today that does not need to be there? These altars are open. If you would like to find a place to come and pray, amen. If you would like to come and ask God to forgive you and how you've been handling a delay, amen. You can do it from your seat this morning. You can do it at this altar, wherever you feel comfortable today. Church, I want you to find a place to talk to God and let him minister to your soul today. Would you do that right now as they begin to sing?
There's not a mountain too tall. There's not a problem too small that Jesus can't resolve. In time he'll get involved, 'cause our God, he cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. Wait. not a mountain too tall. There's not a problem too small that Jesus can't resolve. In time He'll get involved. Our God, He cares about us. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.